What? No, it hasn't. Back. Oh, yes, it has.
Fat expat.
Two fat expats.
Two fat expats.
Says, we were thinking it's International Women's Day today, yes. Sunday, March the 8th.
Yes.
By the time this goes out, it'll be Monday, March yes. the 9th.
But our post. This International is Women's Day podcast.
It is, and I was going to make you do a few accents of our two fat expats to celebrate.
Normally we sing our intro.
We do normally sing, but we're not singing today. So, Sez, could you give me, and I promise you, dear listeners, this is completely off the cuff and an idea that came up,
about
30 seconds ago. So, Sez, your best Irish two fat expats?
Two fat expats.
Your best South African two fat expats?
South African two fat expats.
Your best Kiwi, two fat expats.
It sounds a bit South African. Where's my cheese? Two.
What's where's my cheese?
I was thinking of that Bega ad back home.
Oh.
That was, remember? Was it the Bega ad? Anyway, yeah. Two fat expats, expits.
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 Yes, expits.
I do a really good Southern accent.
Oh, you do?
Two fat expats. Okay. And we'll leave it at that.
We will. Maybe we should just go back to the song. Okay, so today we were going to talk about International Women's Day,
mm-hmm.
and I had written a post this morning about International Women's Day and how, as someone who travels internationally, it's very hard mm-hmm. for me to not get it around in a different context.
Yes.
That I know that International Women's Day is really about women and internationally and where they are with religion and mm-hmm. economic development and education mm-hmm. and how that all works.
Do you feel that it means more to you because you're a woman living in an international country, that maybe this day means more to you than if you were back home?
Yeah, well, it's a tough one because I can't remember International Women's Day before I was travelling.
Yeah.
But then maybe I wasn't in that sort of sphere either.
Yes.
Of
yeah, that's
that
what
realm
I think.
Of thinking.
I think about it a lot more because I'm an international woman living in a different country.
Yeah. And so I think about it as international women because, says, in our expat life, we are constantly surrounded and in groups of international women.
Absolutely. I've got friends from everywhere. All corners of the globe.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just even with your friends, it's your general interactions everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You're constantly meeting people from elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were saying earlier, there is that thing, it happens with our children as well, that at international schools, children are encouraged all the time to talk about where they're from.
Absolutely.
And we have big international days.
Yeah, Sadie's school just in the last couple of weeks had International Day at school, and her class in particular is very international.
Right.
As a class.
Right, okay.
It's like a mini meeting of the UN when you walk inside her classroom.
And I know our little Henry Hot Dog, in his class, they have a big map on the wall and there's a picture of them all with a point that goes to where they're all from.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can every time you go into the classroom, you can see, you know, that there's someone from South Korea.
Yeah.
There's someone from Finland. There's someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Australia.
That.
Oh, I love it too.
And I love that the kids then find out about other countries that perhaps they wouldn't know about at such a young age back home.
Yeah. But I think what's different and where mm-hmm. an expat can come unstuck when they get home is it's actually quite rude to ask people where they're from.
Yes.
If you go back to Australia and
which is a very multicultural
incredibly
country.
Multicultural. But I know I have positively made friends squirm when, and I can think of an instance, we were walking back to the car park, a woman who helped me out of the car park, she was of Indian heritage and had mm-hmm. an accent that sort of sounded Indian and, you know, we were talking away. And I said to her, so where are you from? And I could just feel my friends cringing because it's a really rude thing to ask someone
absolutely.
From Australia.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, because you just consider that everybody is Australian. And it doesn't matter.
No matter where your heritage is
from.
Well, because Australia, we're all from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're like 100%
Aboriginal. Yeah,
you're from somewhere.
That's right.
You stole a loaf on a Tuesday and you're on the ship to Australia back in the 1700s.
Well, maybe if you came then, or you're just an immigrant from another country.
Yeah. But wherever you're from, you're from somewhere, aren't you?
That's right. None of us are truly, uniquely Australian. So But I think it's really interesting here is that people hold where they're from with great pride.
And absolutely.
It's a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is. It's almost like the first question you ask when you meet someone new, isn't it?
Oh, always.
Where are you from? Yeah.
Always. So where are you from? Yeah. And then because that's a way to get the ball rolling mm-hmm. of, you know, well, how long have you been here?
It just opens up so many questions, doesn't it?
Yeah. International woman mean to you. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to you, Cez?
I sometimes talk to Matt about how I've come from very much a bubble.
Right.
So in Sydney, I've had the same set of friends growing up. We've had the same sort of upbringing. Everything, I was in this little bubble.
Right.
And then I moved overseas and I've met people from different countries and different walks of life, and it has completely broadened my view of thinking.
Right.
And I think that has made me more international.
Right.
Just meeting women, having friends, working with people from different countries and understanding their cultures and where they come from and how their family works, how life is for them, it has completely broadened my way of thinking.
It's an education,
isn't it? Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah, like I think that you can go to have a simple cup of coffee with someone mm-hmm. and what initially started as a conversation about the roadworks and how hard is it to get to A to B, and all of a sudden you find out, well, you know, I'm actually married to someone who's Palestinian, and this is how it was for us growing up.
I have a friend, we're not close friends, we're actually in the same book club.
Yeah.
And we had breakfast a couple of weeks ago, and she has a French accent. I just thought she was French, but I knew her father was British.
Right.
And she's beautiful blue eyes, so I thought she was half French, half British, but it turns out that actually her mum is Palestinian, but grew up in France. So she's got this whole amazing mix of cultures and countries and what she identifies with.
Yeah.
And to me, she is truly international.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and her husband's from Palestine, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Over the weekend, I flew to Kuwait with my 14-year-old daughter in mm-hmm. a softball tournament. And what it really struck me there, because we get to this softball tournament, we're in the middle of Kuwait, and there's a team from Saudi, there's a team from Kuwait, there's a couple of teams mm-hmm. from Dubai, there's a team from Oman. You know, this is just part of our regular deal
mm-hmm.
of, you know, hanging out with people. But the girls got out to play, I think it was their second game, and the coach on the first base coach for Kuwait came out, and it was a woman, and she was completely head to toe. She had the abaya and she had a niqab on, mm-hmm. so her whole face was covered, and she was a set of eyes, but she had a baseball jacket on, the same as the others. And I thought, you know, for someone of my generation as an Australian, you know, we didn't see at all. And so you had really preconceived ideas of what that meant. And
I think it would be quite confronting maybe if we all back home and saw that, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think our kids don't see it.
Completely normal.
And that's what I love. I love that they just don't see that stuff mm-hmm. at all like we see it.
Absolutely.
You know,
but then our thinking has been born. That's what I was getting at before.
Yeah.
I think, would that have been confronting or something? Not confronting, but if
unusual.
Unusual.
Yeah.
If that had happened in, you know, rural Australia on a Saturday morning sports day,
never.
That would just never happen.
Never.
But to our kids, that is completely and utterly normal.
Yeah.
But I think it changes our way of thinking.
Yeah. And I think too, like when I go back to Australia and people talk about women who have covered, and this is getting off track a bit, but it's always this issue of that they are oppressed in some mm-hmm. way, or that mm-hmm. someone's making them do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, then when you start having friends who are covered, you realise, well, no, that's just culturally what's happening within their group. Just like I would not go down to the pub in a bikini solely because it would scare the children, but I wouldn't feel comfortable in that way.
It actually got me thinking, there's a mum at the swimming school that Sadie goes to, and she's Australian, and she's married to an Australian, and they're Muslim. And she never covered, and she was never asked to cover by her family, ever. She didn't even wear a headscarf.
Yep.
Very liberal family. Yep. They moved to London, and she started going to religious groups and mixing with more other Muslim ladies, and she decided to cover.
Yeah.
And her husband said, but why? I don't I've never made you to want to. Yeah. But it was her choice.
It's her choice.
And I love sitting with her at swimming each week and we chat and I'm just completely intrigued.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. And that
was absolutely her choice.
And that's the thing. It is all about choice. Yeah. And that's what we should be celebrating.
Her parents were shocked.
Right.
They were really upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting to see it from their point of view.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were looking at different articles this week related to International Women's Day, and both of us had a clear favourite. And
that was... Your girl crush.
My girl crush, Annabelle Crabb, has written in the Sydney Morning Herald, and I think one of the titles was that feminism is messy and imperfect and has people you love as well as people you can't stand. Mm-hmm. And one of Annabelle's points of International Women's Day and being a feminist was that, you know, we all come in different, you know,
shapes and sizes
and ideals, and that maybe in her 50s dresses and love of baking and whatever she wouldn't.
And kitchenware and what have you.
And kitchenware and what have you. But I think on the other side, Annabelle's brilliant political brain and her ability to write sort of shows her as an incredibly strong woman, but she's multifaceted. And I think that's what feminism is about, is that we all get to choose. And I wanted to ask the question of, can you be a feminist and be someone who's following someone else's career? Because so many expat women, yes, we have a decent percentage of us that come for our own careers and have partners that follow or don't have partners. But there is still the overwhelming majority is it was the guy's
career
and you come for your partner's career. And so can you still be a feminist?
Absolutely.
Yes, I think so too. And I'm seriously hoping. But
and especially when you're raising daughters. And actually, you know what, when you're raising boys as well.
Oh, yeah.
Raise your boys to be feminists.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, that is a big issue. It's raising your boys. I don't find it so hard with the girls because the girls have got a fair enough of, you know, girl power.
Yeah.
But what really irks me is the boys if they start to have an idea of what mums do. Do you know?
Yeah.
Because those mums at school are always the ones who are providing the stuff and looking after the class. And it's having to remind them that, you know, you're in a unique situation here. This is not what it's like at home. Do you know?
It's just happened.
So I think, you know, you and I definitely have found that we have had to forge our own careers here.
Absolutely.
Which...
And we've probably been given opportunities here, and this is going to be another episode, but we've been given opportunities here that perhaps we wouldn't have had back home.
No, because I think you're forced to create something.
Absolutely.
Because if you're following someone else's career, yes, you may have followed, but it doesn't mean that when you get there, it has to be all about their career.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So once you get there, then you've got to start thinking about, all right, well, what am I going to do for myself?
Yeah.
And what is
this
going to be?
How am I going to make myself happy?
Yeah.
Because if you can't make yourself happy, no one else can.
No, that's right.
So if you are happy, stay-at-home mum, raising your babies, then do that. And don't let anyone tell you not to.
And don't apologise for it.
And don't apologise for it, because I spent years apologising for it. But I loved it.
And that whole I'm just
a housewife. I'm just a stay-at-home mum. I was a bloody good one. And I loved doing it. But then I've evolved and she's at school full-time and I don't need to be that stay-at-home mum anymore. And I want something that I want to do for me.
Yes. That's
so if that's you, then go out and do it.
Yes. So I think on this International Women's Day, I guess what we're trying to say to our fellow international women is, you know, just look after yourself.
Make yourself happy.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do. Find out what you're passionate about, no matter what it is.
Make yourself happy sounds a little bit naughty.
Oh, well, you can do that too.
Well, you can, especially.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Do it. Don't be ashamed to do it. Just do it.
Get out there and make yourself happy five times
a day. With Pharrell singing in the background. Because I'm happy.
So, Sez, we're going to move on to a little video that you absolutely loved, and so did I.
This made me cry because it does touch a little bit close to home for me.
Yeah.
So I saw this on my Facebook feed and I reposted it yesterday.
So it's the video that everyone's talking about. It's the same love, Love Has No Labels, and it's the two skeletons.
Yes.
And it's gone viral, so I'd say most of our audience would have seen it.
It shows two skeletons dancing. You don't know if they're two women, two men, man and a woman, what colour, religion, what have you, and then they come out,
mm-hmm.
and then you see that love has no problem with religion,
mm-hmm.
no problem with race,
yep.
no problem with disabilities. We all, and what I get from it is we all want to be loved and be loved, mm-hmm. and everybody loves the same way,
yes.
no matter where you're from, what you look like, whether you're blind, whether you're deaf.
We just want to connect. And
whether you're Muslim, whether you're Jewish, we just want to connect with one another and love. And it doesn't have to be about a romantic love.
No.
I mean, this dance showed two sisters and one sister had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Or it showed two best friends from two different backgrounds.
Yes.
Two
different religions.
Yeah. And it hits close to home for me because my sister is obviously Australian. Her partner is from Brazil and he's black. And they have a little girl, Frankie, who is like my other child. I love that kid more than life itself. And they live in a small area in New South Wales, Australia. And the comments, the stares, everything that happens to them as a family is unfathomable. I can't even say that word. But, can I talk about it?
So
her next-door neighbour... picked Frankie up when she was a baby, smelt her, and said, oh, she doesn't smell black.
Oh, my gosh.
And my sister said, well, what's black supposed to smell like?
Yeah.
She smells like a baby. She smells of Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, a bit of vomit, and that baby smell that every baby has.
Yeah.
What
a ridiculous thing to say.
So stupid. And my sister has been out with Frankie, just the two of them, and they you can tell that they do look different.
Yeah.
But she's had people come up to her and say, oh, you're doing such a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's like, what? Well, am I packing my groceries really well into the back of the car? And they're like, oh, you know, adopting these poor children from Africa and so.
Oh,
and so like, that's my child. She came from me.
Yeah.
And the stares that Matt and I got when it was the two of us with Sadie and Frankie.
Mm.
And people that feel like they have to smile at you in the supermarket and let you know that you're doing a really good thing by adopting this child so they overcompensate for their awkwardness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, it really irks me and it really gets me and it doesn't happen to me personally, but I hear what happens to my sister and what happens to her partner.
So how big is this town?
This town is quite a posh area of rural New South Wales. So it's rich white people and rich gay men. Like Alan Jones has his weekend getaway down there. It's where people go for fancy schmancy, dirty weekends and,
So you would think that these people might be a little bit more
You would think open. Most of these people are very educated, very well educated.
Yeah. So is it that whole thing, like we've gone back to, you know, the difference between when our generation see the woman who's completely covered and it has to be a conversation point,
mm-hmm.
and whereas young kids see it, is it that same thing that they're just not used to seeing?
They're just not used to seeing. I have a feeling Leo might be the only
mixed race child.
Yeah. Oh, Frankie definitely is. I think.
Oh,
yeah.
But you're saying the father.
And Leo, I mean, he's got to be the only Brazilian living in Barrel.
He's the only Brazilian in the village.
He is. He's not the only gay in the village. He's the only Brazilian in the village. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And my sister's quite alternative. So she's got like the crazy hair and the crazy outfit. So she's not the collars up, wearing the pearls.
Yeah.
But neither is my mum. My mum gets stared at when she goes to golf in her hot pink paint and leather golf shoes.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They rocked that town when they moved down there a couple of years ago. The place shook. But I get worried for Frankie. I get worried when she starts school and she's going to be the only kid possibly who's mixed race. And I get nervous for her of how people are going to treat her, how she's going to see herself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess she'll be – how do you work on that though? How do you – what do you do as a family? Do you do anything?
Yeah. We definitely share our feelings. So I think without a doubt that if there's issues that arise, they will not be hidden. They will be spoken about.
Right. Good.
Because that's how my sister and I grew up. Everything was on the table. You spoke about everything. If you're pissed off, you said you were pissed off and this was the reason.
Yeah.
And we talked about all of that stuff. So that will happen with their little family.
their very little international family in Australia.
Yeah, she's a cutie.
Now, on your sister, because we were talking about Instagram and Instagram hashtags, tell me what's going on with your sister and Christy Turlington.
So everyone knows Christy Turlington, the former supermodel, the glamazon of the 1990s.
Yes.
So she and my sister are like Instagram BFFs. So,
and how did that happen?
So a little while ago, so my sister doesn't believe in Facebook. She doesn't have Facebook, but she has Instagram, and she's a big Instagram user, and she does put a lot of photos of Frankie on there.
Right.
And somehow, maybe they use the same hashtag, I'm not sure, but Christy Turlington found my sister's account and started following her, started liking the pictures, and they started having a conversation.
Right.
Now, my sister told me about that because she knows that I'm like a celebrity stalker. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's not Christy Turlington. It's someone that set up a fake Christy Turlington account.
Yeah.
So then I went on to
their social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went on to her account, and lo and behold, it is the real Christy Turlington.
Right.
So, of course, I started following her, hoping that she would follow my blog. She hasn't.
Right.
Anyway, so Christy Turlington has this amazing charity initiative movement called Every Mother Counts.
Right.
And it's about the number of maternal deaths that happen when women are giving birth, not only in developing countries and third world nations, but in the Western world, in first world countries, all over the world. And I think they got onto one another because my sister nearly died giving birth to Frankie. She lost 75% of her blood. She hemorrhaged.
Oh.
And that is the main cause of maternal deaths. When Christy had her first child, she hemorrhaged as well and nearly lost her life. But she was in an amazing hospital in New York, and my sister was in a fantastic hospital, and their lives were saved. But that's not necessarily the case in other countries.
Oh, yeah, because that is the impact, isn't it, when you realise I would have died had I not had proper medical care.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doctor walked out to my mum when she had Frankie and said, this is not. She's not going to come back from this.
Yeah.
But she did because there was amazing doctors and midwives and nurses that saved her. But there's a lot of people in countries that don't have access to
medical care.
And that's what Christy's doing. She's starting an initiative to raise awareness and to raise money for these women that are dying unnecessarily giving birth to their children.
Yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? Unless you have the situation happen to you where you go through something like that, and then because, I mean, every minute people have babies in the Western world and it all runs smoothly.
Yep.
It all happens lovely. But then something like that happens and you suddenly think about, well, what if I was here or there or wherever? Yeah. But also on the flip side, when you're an international woman and you're travelling, you see it happening all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always curious to see the statistics of anti-vaxxers in the international world because I always wonder that, you know, when we moved to Jakarta, children died of tuberculosis all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a no-brainer that you were going to have that TB vaccination.
Absolutely.
Because it would be so stupid not to have it, to risk losing your child. And so, I remember the minute our first child was, sort of, I think it was 8 weeks old, might have been 6 or 8 weeks old, you basically rushed off to go and get the TB vaccination.
You do everything that you can to help your child.
Oh, you do. Yeah. And so it just, and I know, you know, a lot of people choose now because they have not to vaccinate because they have the absolute luxury of not doing it because, you know, these diseases have been eradicated. In the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I've often wondered what those statistics are with the expat community.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, because we are susceptible to these things all the time. We meet people. I mean, when we're in Libya, people
have
leprosy.
Here than what she would have back home.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah, she's been jabbed for things that I've never even heard of before.
Definitely, because you...
But I just gave them to her.
Yeah, because you will strike up a conversation with someone who will tell you about family members who have died.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's happened, and you suddenly go, God, we're so lucky to have lived in this little bubble in Australia where these things have all been taken care of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, it's an interesting thing. And another facet to this international life is getting to see the different sides of how other people have grown up and their worlds. I think that, there was just one other thing I wanted to say for anyone because we were talking about, you know, usually we talk about a different thing we've seen online and, you know, on Instagram or a podcast or whatever. One of the people I see who has just started a Facebook page is a journalist for the ABC called Sally Sara, who's mm-hmm. with Foreign Correspondent. And I love Foreign Correspondent. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. And she has just started a Facebook page. And Sally is, I actually know Sally personally because she worked for the ABC in my little country town for a little while. Okay. And so I promise you
it's not. Mark on the map.
I promise it's not pure nepotism. But she really is one of the funniest women I know. Mm-hmm. But just fascinating because she has worked in Afghanistan as a war correspondent. She's been all over the world and she has written a couple of books, one of them about women in South Africa called Go Go Mama. But she really is, when I think about international women and International Women's Day, I think of Sally Sara as kind of the poster child of a woman who has done so much good for women around the world and travelled around the world and told the stories of women and just, you know, really been incredible. So if anyone wants to follow her, you can see her on Facebook as Sally Sara, and we'll put it in the show notes as well.
I grew up with Anna Corrin, who's now working for CNN. Our parents are best friends. And whenever I see her in her military gear in Afghanistan.
In a flat jacket.
And I think, oh, we play Barbies. And I love watching her wherever she goes. But I always think, I know everything about you. I've known you since the day I was born and we play Barbies.
Oh, look, I just find people that can do that incredible. Yeah. I know when we were in Jakarta, Sal was there working, you know, just as an international correspondent for the ABC. And just how much work those people have to do. Yeah. And just also what you have to know. Like,
yes.
It's incredible. Okay. Well, Sez, our time is up. Mm-hmm. We're another a little bit episode. Serious Mary's today, weren't we?
And next week's episode is going to be a bit serious as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, we can do. Yeah. Next week we're going to talk about having babies in different countries and also not having babies and infertility in different countries.
But, hey, I got masturbation into this episode. And I had a woman.
Well, actually, I don't know if you did. I think you said probably.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking double clicking the furry mouse. You were the one that brought it up. But
double
clicking
the furry mouse.
I am so sorry, Mum and Dad, and to Matt's parents. I'm really sorry. But do you know what? I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to Alison. She's a lady that I know through the ANZIC group, and she came up to me the other day at our coffee morning and she said, thank you for talking about vaginas.
Oh,
so remember we did the episode with the things I lift with my vagina.
And I was very happy with my vagina.
Yeah, and she just loved
it. Well, I hadn't had any complaints.
So that one's for you, Alison.
Yes, yes. And also, Marty from New Zealand. Marty sent us a little note a couple of days ago saying that she was listening to us in New Zealand and she was absolutely loving it. So thank you to
everyone who's listening.
So, yeah, if you are out there, please drop us a line and, you know, same old usual.
Subscribe, rate,
download.
Review,
we need it. We desperately need it. And we'll
start it off serious then. We've just taken it way below the belt.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.